Music and the Muse. Music resembles poetry. In each are nameless graces which no methods teach, and which a master hand alone can reach. Music and the Muse, blending the magic of poetry, read by Janet Logan, with Thomas Mancini's violin. Music and the Muse, for those who follow the star of dreams.
Good evening, everyone. This is Janet Logan. We'll begin our poetry department this evening with a little poem entitled Summer Quest. It was written by Luette Pierce. Women are seeking the great open spaces, blouses with eyelets and sheerest of laces, stockings of mesh, and sandals that show through punctured partitions small sections of toe. It goes very hard with some sensitive souls to be forced to step out dressed in nothing but holes. China tea set, just to own. A China tea set was her dream. Dear fragile cup, quaint little bowl, a cunning pitcher for the cream. So graciously she'd pour their tea, her friends would chatter bright and gay. How perfect! Such lovely cups. I'm glad I happened in today. But he to whom her life was joined thought money would be better spent for land, for implements and stock. And to his will, her will was bent. His toil and gain were all for her. And when the two were old and gray, that she might have no wish denied, he brought the tea things home one day. Dear fragile cups, quaint little bowl, she thanked him with her patient smile. She placed them in a shining row, admired them for a little while, then packed them all away. You see, no friends were left to drink the tea. Along asunder, our paths grow wider as the seasons creep along the years. We marvel and we wonder why life is life. And then we fall asleep, not understood. Not understood, the secret springs of action which lie beneath the surface and the show are disregarded. With self-satisfaction, we judge our neighbors. And they often go not understood. Not understood. How trifles often change us. The thoughtless sentence or the fancied slight destroy long years of friendship and estrange us. And on our souls there falls a freezing blight. Not understood. Not understood. How many breasts are aching for lack of sympathy? Day after day, how many cheerless, lonely hearts are breaking. How many noble spirits pass away, not understood. Oh, God, that men would see a little clearer, or judge less harshly when they cannot see. Oh, God, that men would draw a little nearer to one another. They'd be nearer thee. And understood.
Thank you.
Smithers regarded his suit one day with utter distress in his glance. "Look at the cuffs," he cried, "the fray. See the shine in the seat of the pants?" "Well, you must get another," the wife replied in prompt response to her dear one, for the lady well knew a connubial cue whenever she happened to hear one. "Remember the stripe we saw," she remarked, "and the rich Scotch plaid? I adored it." But her husband was adamant. "No," he barked, "I told you I couldn't afford it." She led him, protesting at every step, to a masculine suit salon, where the clerks were suave and the suits were hip, and he grudgingly tried one on. "Now there's a plaid," he beamed, "not bad." And he hummed as he signed the check. And he gave Mrs. S. an affectionate husbandly kiss on the back of the neck. Morrow. Oh, happy the wife, and intelligent too, who remains the queen of his heart by earnestly urging her husband to do what he wanted to do at the start.
Thank you.
One of the best love poems in our language is Endymion by John Keats, which is based on the Greek legend of the young shepherd who was loved by Selene, the moon goddess. Here is the famous poem of Book One. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us, and a sleep full of sweet dreams, and health, and quiet breathing. Therefore, on every morrow, are we wreathing a flowery band to bind us to the earth, spite of despondence, of the inhuman dearth of noble natures, of the gloomy days, of all the unhealthy and o'er-darkened ways made for our searching. Yes, in spite of all from our dark spirits. Such the sun, the moon, trees old and young, sprouting a shady boon for simple sheep. And such are daffodils with the green world they live in. And clear rills that for themselves a cooling covert make against the hot season. The mid-forest brake, rich with a sprinkling of fair musk-rose blooms. And such, too, is the grandeur of the dooms we have imagined for the mighty dead. All lovely tales that we have heard or read, an endless fountain of immortal drink pouring unto us from the heaven's brink. Nor do we merely feel these essences for one short hour. No, even as the trees that whisper round a temple become soon dear as the temple's self, so does the moon, the passion poesy. Glories infinite haunt us till they become a cheering light unto our souls, and bound to us so fast that whether there be shine or gloom o'ercast, they always must be with us or we die. Therefore, 'tis with full happiness that I will trace the story of Endymion. The very music of the name has gone into my being, and each pleasant scene is growing fresh before me as the green of our own valleys. So I will begin now, while I cannot hear the city's din. Now, while the early budders are just new, and run in mazes of the youngest hue about old forests, while the willow trails its delicate amber, and the dairy pails bring home increase of milk. And as the year grows lush in juicy stalks, I'll smoothly steer my little boat for many quiet hours with streams that deepen freshly into bowers. Many and many a verse I hope to write before the daisies, vermal-rimmed and white, hide in deep herbage, and ere yet the bees hum about gloves of clover and sweet peas, I must be near the middle of my story. Oh, may no wintry season, bare and hoary, see it half-finished. But let autumn bold, with universal tinge of sober gold, be all about me when I make an end. And now at once, adventuresome, I send my herald thought into a wilderness. There let its trumpet blow, and quickly dress my uncertain path with green, that I may speed easily onward through flowers and weed. Of poets, James Russell Lowell said, "It is they who utter wisdom from the central deep, and listening to the inner flow of things, speak to the age out of eternity." This is Janet Logan saying goodbye until next week.
Strains of melody fade away to join with other pleasant memories. Again, Music and the Muse is ended. Featured with Thomas Mancini, violinist, were William Sobranski, organist, Carl Rossner, cellist, Catherine Julier, harpist. Poems read by Miss Janet Logan were Summer Quest by Louette Pierce, The China Tea Set by B.Y. Williams, Not Understood by Thomas Bracken, Lesson for Ladies by P. Bracken, Proem from Endymion by John Keats, and musical numbers included Dancing Doll by Paul Dini, When I Grow Too Old to Dream by Romberg, Adagio Pathétique by Godard, I'd Love to Live in Loveland by Williams, and Lotus Land by Cyril Scott and Fritz Kreisler. Music and the Muse was edited by John Kraft and directed by Clinton Stanley. This program was presented from Hollywood's Radio City. John Storm speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.